time to move your feet. On the upbeat, so come on and dance with me. Cause life is bitter, life is sweet, and it's got you on the edge of your seat. But you know that life is better, it's always better on the upbeat.
Welcome to On the Upbeat. I'm your host, Matt Vest, and earlier today, I banged the shit out of my knee into my desk. It made me cry.
Well, hopefully it was like a skanking accident, right?
No, it was scooting my chair into my desk.
Scooting, skanking, it's all the
same. It's all the same. Who are you?
Oh, me talking. I am the Ska Mailman, but I'll tell you what, I'm not the only Ska Mailman on the podcast this week.
What?
Because we have with us here Eric Scazzini and Chris Ruckus from the band Mutiny. And Chris Ruckus is the other Ska Mailman I'm referring to. Two Ska Mailmans on one show. I don't know how this is. We're going to break the internet.
Yeah, we can't continue.
We've got the Ska Mailman and a Ska Mailman.
Ska Mailman. I'll take the with pride. Thank you so much.
Eric and Chris, how's it going?
It's going good, man.
Yeah.
Besides Eric, just before starting, mentioning that he's sick,
I'm kind of dying right now. But other than that, it's going pretty sweet. Just practicing for the upcoming SPI Fest and making sure I have the set down. And that's kind of what we're all doing right now. Just panic mode. First time we're going to all be meeting each other and playing together as a band. It's pretty stressful. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Is it difficult to play saxophone when you can hardly breathe?
No, I'm a smoker too. So it's like my body's just used to being on low oxygen always. So it's kind of like, I don't know. It just works.
You've been training for this. It's been like Goku on the way to Namek. You've been training for this.
Well, I got one time on a long time ago, like on a voodoo tour in like 2007, I got bronchitis. And I didn't know. I had like bronchitis for like 3 weeks. And I just played through that. And I don't know how I did it, but that. So this is hopefully not as bad as that. That's only one show.
But how I can understand like living through bronchitis, but you didn't even know that you had it?
Dude, I had no idea. I got home and the doctor was like, if you would have waited like 3 more days, you probably would like drown from the inside out because your lungs are like 80% full of fluid. And I was like, oh, cool. Anyway, how do we fix this? I need to go on tour again in like 2 weeks or whatever it was.
Dang.
So this weekend I live in Southern California, Orange County area. I live near Disneyland. And this past weekend I drove up to San Francisco to see Half Past Two. It's about a 7 to 8 hour drive, depending on how often you stop. 7-8 hour drive up to San Francisco to see Half Past Two, Omnigon, Flying Raccoon Suit. It was a great time. What I'm wondering is how far would you all drive to go to a show? And not a festival. I'm not talking festival.
Oh,
I'm talking
you
know, 3-4 bands, like tops, like a night, a show.
I drove to from Pittsburgh to Chicago to see Descendants. Oh, you know what? That was Riot Fest. Never mind.
That's the
thing. I was like, Suicide Machine was there too. That was weird. Why was they in the same bill? But no, that was Riot Fest.
Chris trying to break the rules immediately.
Yeah, that sounds like me. I mean, I've definitely drove to Detroit to see Suicide Machines before. That's like a full 5-hour drive.
Yeah, it's pretty long. Yeah,
and I used to hang out in I used to live in Detroit too, so it's like you hang out with buddies too. But those shows were the coolest because they would do there was this spot. Oh my god, I'm sorry, I'm also working on like no sleep and 2 hours of overtime. So
how
that shit goes. But yeah, so like Suicide Machines would do these like pop-up shows. Like this was in the time before they came back as a band. So they would do like these pop-up shows with like it would have been the lineup of Hellmouth. And so like everybody was just going nuts. It was these little like anarchist compounds. Trumbleplex was the name of the spot. It was sick. So yeah, I guess like 5 hours to answer your question.
That's a pretty good drive.
Yeah, it's pretty. Eric, what about you?
Okay, does flying count? Because one time I flew from Pittsburgh to Vegas to see Kamuri play.
Damn.
Ooh, that'd be worth
and
it.
And it was just and like that was, just a few bands. Dude,
it was just it was Kamuri and Buck 09 and one other band. I left Pittsburgh at like 6 a.m. and then I got into Vegas and then I watched Kamuri play and then I left Vegas at like 2 a.m. So wow. I was only in Vegas for like 16 hours, but it was totally worth it because Kamuri's like my all-time favorite band ever.
That's a commitment, no matter what.
I'd say it counts, yeah, because you're spending hours in a plane to get, I mean, that far across the country compared to me and Matt, we're close enough to Vegas. It's like, 45-minute flight, or for Matt, probably just a few-hour drive. But, yeah, that's a commitment to see your favorite bands.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Adam, how far have you driven for a show?
Yeah, well, for me, being in Boise, you know, we don't get a ton of stuff. So I've driven to Salt Lake City a couple times for stuff. And that's like the same about a 5 hour drive. It could go quicker if you leave the right time. There's not traffic, but the farthest I've gone besides for festivals is, to Portland, Oregon, which is probably about an 8 hour drive for me too. Cause there's a lot of cool stuff that comes through Portland, but I got friends in Portland and stuff. But yeah, if we're counting festivals though, the furthest I'm going is going to be at SPI Fest this year to hang out with these gentlemen. And that's quite the long flight from Boise to Connecticut.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I was just wondering, I was driving, obviously we did some sightseeing and stuff like that. So we did stay the night. We stayed two nights. But yeah, it was, you know, that was the main reason of go. It was kind of like main reason to go. See them in a different environment. It was kind of cool. You know, bands will often talk about like, you know, when they start touring outside of their hometown and then all of a sudden they're going to a hometown or a show outside of their hometown and people are like dancing and singing to their songs. Like I got to witness that with Half Past Two and to see them sort of, you know, 8 hours from their hometown and just seeing everyone into that. Into their music and their album release and stuff like that. So it was kind of surreal and cool. And then, you know, running into people that I, you know, didn't even think about that are up in the, you know, I saw, ran into Eichler's. I ran into.
Oh, nice.
He plays guitar for Omnigon now. Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, cool.
And, ran into some of the guys from Hellas, Hellas, they were up there, Sad Snack.
Yeah, because those are all Bay Area bands.
Yeah. And then, oddly enough, I ran into Harrison from the band Victory Kid, and he's, like, his hometown is, like, down here in L.A., so he just happened to be visiting his parents as, you know, Half Past Two was coming through, so that was sort of, like, random, like, hey, aren't you also from down where we're not from here? Like,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's funny, so... Yeah,
I was going really to ask you.
I'm sorry. I was really picturing the band Hella, like the two-piece math rock band. And I was like, oh, man, like who knew they were such – Zach Hill was such a ska fan.
Well, now we got to reach out and find out if that is true or not. That'd be wonderful.
Absolutely.
I was going to say I saw all your videos and stuff, and I was going to ask you about that. It looked like a really good time with really great bands.
Yeah, it was it's a cool venue. It's basically, you know, it's basically a bar. It's got a cool outside spot, and I always appreciate venues having like outside space because sometimes it gets hot in, you know, a small room and you're like, I could just stand outside and, you know, not sweat as much. That'd be great for a minute. So that's great. And that was a good time. And it was just a good show, good vibes. Everyone, you know, enjoying it and being there for Half Past Two, and it was great to see Flying Raccoon Suit for the first time. And
those are the homies for sure.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, and
that tour, that show came to SoCal, didn't it? Because I had a show on Saturday, and I was gonna go, but my flight I had to leave on Saturday night, so I couldn't make it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was 30 minutes from my house, but no, I drove 8 hours.
Hey, sometimes you need a change of environment to really appreciate it.
Yeah, you know? That's sort of what Definitely. It was. It was my original intent was actually to go to both, but then the friend that was going to go with me, he's not super into ska. So he also, he'd never been to San Francisco before. So I'm like, okay, well.
But he's super into 8 hour drives.
He's super into 8 hour drives. Yeah, exactly. So, so we made a day of sightseeing rather than coming back straight away. And I think I kind of, in the end, being older, I enjoyed that more because sitting, you know, back to back in a car for like 8 hours, that's not necessarily
sucks.
Fun. Yeah, it sucks.
It's not fun.
But even when you have someone to split the driving with, like, it's still not fun. You're still sitting. All right.
Yeah.
So enough chit-chat. Let's get to some ska news.
Rude girls and rude boys, too. Grab your friends and listen to what we're telling you. I'm sorry, you might have heard, but again, you're about to miss me in ska news.
Ska News, the segment where my voice cracks when I say Ska News for some reason, and where we tell you about the latest releases in ska. And first up, the Backyard Superheroes, on May 3rd, they announced the release of their new album, Mass Hysteria. It'll be out on June 28th. The record will be out on Jump Up Records. They released their first video and single for Mass Hysteria. The song features Cooley Ranks, and we're going to listen to a clip right now.
Yo, Dirty Jersey, Backyard Superheroes alongside Cooley Ranks.
Up to face reality, but that's just me. Nowhere to go in the streets in protest. On a road we're surrounded by madness. Can't see how this story ends. And now it's time to turn the pages. The world as we know it is falling apart. It breaks my heart. So read all about it. Heads in the sand, but you're never gonna drown it out. It's mass hysteria.
Oh, I love it. It's got the glam rock feel to it. It's and I'm gonna say this, I know it surprises everyone, but I've already heard the album. And it's great. It's I don't even think Mass Hysteria is not the best song on it, so there's a lot to look forward to. I love it.
Well, now I'm jealous. I thought I was the only one who listened to that album early.
Gary's playing us. Gary's like pitting us. You know, we think we're all special and cool, and Gary's like giving it away for free, I guess.
Gary's like that episode of a sitcom where he's on two different dates on the same day. He's just
that's what it is.
He's changing his glasses. Dang it, Gary.
That scoundrel leading us on, making us think we're the only one.
Well, I have a little bit of ska news as well. Montreal, Quebec, space ska band Danny Rebel and the KGB just released a new album called We're All Going to Hell. I think it's a really great album. I think it's a cool band. And this song is called Chew Toy.
Back to
was fitting because I just got a new puppy this week, and he's been chewing all of my shoes.
Yes.
I think it was my dog because I looked over. I have a Star Wars like throw pillow upstairs, and my wife looked over and saw that some of the stuffing was coming out. I'm like, stupid dog. But I didn't see the dog do it. I just assume, I just assume it was the dog. Or my kids. I mean, dog or kids, like it could be either one, depending.
That's true.
You know what? When you said the name of Danny Rebel album, We're All Going to Hell. You know, I was listening to some of the album earlier today. Your tone does not match the tone of the record. It's not as like gothy, scary of like, it's more like, yeah, we're all going to hell.
I mean, that's kind of the ska thing in general. No, it's funny though, because that song is kind of spooky. I put it in my Halloween playlist for later in the year. But yeah, overall, it's very just happy, upbeat ska as we're used to.
Yeah, so on the drive home, the two songs that played on my playlist as I came home were just very different. So first, I was listening. Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name Of came on. And it was, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. You know, it was that energy.
Yeah.
And then Life Sucks, Let's Dance by Real Big Fish comes on right after it. And it was just like they both kind of have that same, like there is, you know, world, the light, you know, things are messed up, but they have very different vibes, and it was just it was kind of a interesting 1-2 punch there. All right, lastly up for me in ska news, on May 3rd, Manamoska released their third single off their upcoming self-titled album. This new single is called Toothpick. The album is out May 17th on Bad Time Records. The new song is streaming everywhere now, and let's listen to a clip from Toothpick.
Stepped into your pad, pinched noses and sad faces. Your family was mad. Should've listened to your brother smoking weed outside your house. Flipped him off when he said, keep off the grass. Living is a cruel joke, the universe is laughing. Wishing I was never born, over the sink gagging. Stupid scraping dog shit from the bottom of my shoe. Thinking I don't deserve this, but knowing that I do. Toothpick in my mouth as I'm walking through the door. Dog shit on my shoe and it's falling to the floor. Seems like it always happens when I'm going.
I am very excited about this Manamoska album. And I'm bummed that I have not been listening to them longer. I think I'm a terrible person for not doing it. And I'm very excited about this album.
Well, what's going to be really great is I am going to be seeing Manamoska, and so are our guests, because they're also playing SPI Fest. So why don't we get into talking with the guys here in Mutiny about SPI Fest and about Supernova coming up and about the new record. And what do you guys think? Are you so excited to play? Are you super nervous? Because this is your guys' first time live in like 2 weeks.
It is not just our first time live. It is our first time all being in the same time zone. So that's a little panic inducing, but yeah, I'm super stoked. It's like what better, debut could there be than this festival?
How do you all prepare for something like that? Never
That's
being,
what I was wondering too.
Never being
manically.
I
mean, we have all of our songs demoed, or that we have like the recordings of them. So we've been playing along with the, or at least I hope the rest of them are too, but I've been playing along with the the tracks like twice a day for a couple months now. It's stressful.
Is there no way to, like, Zoom or otherwise? There's no technology that allows you to sort of do an actual rehearsal?
There's too much of a delay, I think.
Delay, like, yeah. Like there's, a, like, yeah. Like, they have that compensation now. Like they'll have, like, even on Zoom, it says, like, sound for musicians if you want to do this. But, like, yeah, there's no, like, delay compensation that's going to fix it.
Yeah.
From what I've heard recently is that, like, the delay compensation is actually not that bad. I think our problem is, as our band, is like herding cats to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's like everybody's in, you know, six other bands.
Right.
It's like nobody's even met our bass player. Like, we don't know. Like, only a couple of us have even talked to him. So it's like
he's cool as hell too.
Oh, he's so nice. Like, I just started talking to him, like, literally yesterday.
Yeah.
just, like, figuring out flights and stuff. But, like, I mean, we could do something like that, but it's, like, it's already so hard to just coordinate, like, a group text message. I don't even know how we would even be able to go about, like, hey, let's get all seven of us to somehow get on a Zoom and practice. So, I mean, we've all just been kind of practicing, like Chris said, on our own to the EP and then to all our demos and stuff, just like recording and writing and then going over them a couple times a day.
So what's the plan here then? So if you're all kind of practicing on your own, are you going to get like a rehearsal day, like the day before you perform, or some sort of space to actually like run through things? Or are you just going to go in and go, we all know our parts, let's make it happen?
No, we're not that baller. So the first, we're pro ish, but like not that pro. So like the plan right now is to fly in on Thursday, and then we're all going to get together, minus Mike the drummer because he's on tour with Enter Shikari right now.
Okay.
We're going to get six of us on Thursday, and then we're just going to run the set a few times, meet each other, and hang out, and then Mike flies in Friday morning, and then we'll just do the same thing over again with him, and then we'll smash it on Saturday.
Whoa.
Awesome. So how did Mutiny get started? What was the beginning of this band?
So JP, the other guitar player, and I have been like best friends for like over 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been in and out of bands together. And then like, we, you know, just moving across country and like moving away from each other. So in about 2019, he's been trying to find a band forever. And I was like, you know what, let's just like start our own thing remote and just see who wants to do it. And then we started putting stuff together. And then I was like, why don't we get like, I'm a good buddies with Chris now. Let's get him to do second guitar and then we'll put it together. And then COVID hit. Mm. And then we were like, okay, well, this is weird, but we, at least now we have all the time in the world to work on this new project. So, us three started working on it. And then slowly we just started like, hey, let's bring Jose. I know Jose's a good trombone player. Let's bring him in. Chris mentioned the idea of like, what if we had two singers? And I was like, the only other singer I know is Ephraim, so he's in Voodoo and Death by Stereo. So I was like, we could bring him in. His voice would complement yours well. And then we just kind of like, they just began like slowly building puzzle pieces from 2020 to 2022 and just like slowly putting everything together. And then, that's kind of like the quick and dirty of how it all started.
Awesome. When did it end up being a concept? Because those who don't know, that it's a 4-song EP that all follows a concept and a storyline. How did that conversation come up, and how did you decide that's the direction you're going to go?
So that was out of necessity. I think like originally when Eric was like, I have these demos, like, let's, you know, what can you do with them? What can you write for them? I was like, I don't fucking want to write political punk songs anymore. Like, it just bums me out. And so but like everything worth singing about, in my opinion, is political. So
sure.
I think it started like, I think I originally started writing songs about Ultraman, like the kaiju right, from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't kind of like, there wasn't a lot of material for that. Like, oh yeah. So that didn't end up panning out so well. And then like Eric is like super into like Gundam and shit. So I was like, well, let's just, you know, let's just make a concept album, except let's like own the IP. So let's make it about like Mecca and cool shit like that, but let's just write the story ourselves. I grew up listening to like Coheed and Cambria, so like I am well versed in the, you know, the world of the concept record stuff. So I was like, well, let's just jack that wholesale and make a comic out of it. And yeah, it's kind of how it came to be.
Yeah. Well, because that's the other thing. I don't know if people know, but there is a manga that goes along with this. And Chris and I are friends, so I've been lucky enough to read it a while ago. Chris Ruckus and Chris Reeves from SPI. So I got to hear the album early, and I got to read the manga, and it's super, super cool. So how did that come about? Who made the manga, and then how is that accessible? How do people like get that?
So the first pressing of the record. So what we have right now is the prologue chapter for the greater story of it.
Yeah.
And that is what came with the first pressing of the vinyl record. That is sold out online. I do think we're going to have, if not mistaken, some copies at SPI with that comic, which would be sick.
We should. I believe we should. Yeah.
Yeah. So at SBI Fest, if you're there, maybe you can cop it. Other than that, we're gonna, you know, have that digital at some point whenever everything's said and done. But yeah. So I wrote the script for it. My wife and I went over it for a while, and we're hashing that out. And we basically went on Fiverr and we're like, yo, like okay. Who can draw? Like my wife's an incredible artist, but they're like, we just don't work super duper well together, 'cause we're both very highly opinionated on things and both, you know, as artists, like both have a vision of how things should go. Fortunately, they were very kind and they did all the editing for the and it's like night and day what, came
out.
It's
incredible.
Yeah, it's sick. But we hit up this dude named Brandon on Fiverr, and he just like kind of became a homie, and he ended up just like doing it for us, you know, pro bono. So and it's so sick. And he's like the best, and he's doing so well for himself. I'm super proud of that dude. But yeah, he's this dude living in Japan, Japanese and Brazilian dude, manga artist, and kind of taking off with his studio. So the full book will not be done by him. The full book, we are working with a manga studio in Tokyo called Side Ranch. And so they are doing, you know, going through all the proper channels to get like the full book of it.
That's awesome. Yeah. 'Cause when I read it, I was blown away by it. I thought it was awesome. And I'm not like huge into manga. I mean, I was a long time ago, like in school, but I thought it was amazing. Yeah, I would have never guessed it was just a Fiverr dude. He did amazing. Yeah.
And like, just like a dude, like just the kindest kid, dude. Like, I mean, he's like, he was young. I think it was like the first thing he'd really done. So he was like super jazzed about working on something, a bigger project. But yeah, that dude was killer.
Did you let him listen to the record?
Yeah. And, shout out to his studio, DVA Studios on Instagram. He's killing it.
Awesome. Eric, what were you going to say? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was going to say he had a price for Chris, and then like, all of a sudden he was like, you know what? I'm having way too much fun doing this. I'll just do it for free. He was like, I was like, whoa, that's still like so nice. I mean, we still paid him obviously, but
yeah,
like,
I mean like, let it be known that we definitely threw him money, but
yeah,
it's just,
like, he definitely like tried to like, no, I want to do this for free, but we still paid him.
That's cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Real sweet dude.
So the B-sides for the album are the songs, the vocals are in Japanese. The Japanese songs are sung by members of Frail. How did that come to be?
Oh, dude. Okay. So I've been a huge fan of Frail for like 15 years. They used to be called Frailhead Squeeze, like way back in the mid 2000s. And I've been a huge fan of them. And then my buddy, I met up with the dude, his name's Hito, and he's like a ska DJ in Japan, like how they have like ska DJs in between sets. So he's the DJ Do The Ska is, and we like, yeah, he's awesome. And we became friends in like 2008. He came to a voodoo show and anytime I'm like, hey, do you know this Japanese band. I just want to like, I want to fawn over them. Like, do you have their contact information? I just want to like message them and be like, I love you so much. And so like, he gave me Rio's contact information like a year or two ago. And so I've just been like chatting with him and we've just been like going back and forth. Like, hey man, I think your band's great. And like, I'd love to play with you one day. And then, so we finished the EP and then I forgot, like Chris and I were just on the phone and I was like, you know what would be cool is if we had all four of our songs translated and sung in Japanese.
Yeah.
And then Chris like immediately jumped on that. He's like, dude, that'd be amazing. We should totally do that. And then it just like clicked in my head. I was like, dude, Frail has two singers. They have Rio and Shinji and we have two singers. That'd be perfect band to do it. So I hit up Rio and I was like, hey, dude, do you think you and Shinji would want to like translate our EP and sing it in Japanese? So side A is in English and then side B would be Japanese. And he was like, absolutely. He was like real into it. And then it's funny because I saw him, Voodoo actually went to Japan last November with Haysmith. And I met up with Rio and he was like, dude, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do because he sings in English. For Frail.
Oh.
Like, he doesn't sing in he's like, I've never sang in Japanese before. So I have to like, not only do I have to like translate it so it fits, but I also have to like figure out how to sing in Japanese. So hey, but dude, I think they knocked it out of the park and it's like, I think it's something really special because not only for the fans, but especially for us too, because now we get to experience our own band as fans. Like,
yeah.
Who gets to say that? Like, you can listen. I mean, obviously, I listen to the English versions too, and I'm like, oh, this is amazing. But like, having a different, like a separate perspective of like somebody else singing your songs is like, this is crazy. It's like, you can listen to it as a fan. It's just a wild concept, and I really like how it worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome. So, we're going to listen to your song, Shot to Hell. What can you tell us about that?
So this is all the lyrics are told like in metaphor. So like if you weren't familiar with the manga, it could stand alone as its own story. So the story of this one is like there's a perfect civilization, a heaven, and it's gorgeous, and everybody lives there in total harmony. However, the reality of it is that it's being propped up on the suffering of the people below them. Like the fires of the hell are what's keeping it warm. So that is the allegory for what is happening in the manga with the one percenters living on what we're calling Eden. And then the rest of us living on Earth.
Good. Awesome. Let's take a listen to Shot to Hell and we'll come back and chat some more.
Horizon ends, I sell out there and I'm off the edge. sons of the holy forsaken. But children found their parents sang his praise.
We are saved!
Love it. I'm kind of, you know, what was the recording process like for this album, you know, with everyone being sort of in different time zones and area codes
and zip codes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a pain in the ass. So I demoed everything at my home studio here in Pittsburgh. We shot, and like that was just like, you know, recording the horns on guitar, so like it was like six guitars layered on top of each other. We sent those tracks to
Jay Solo,
yeah,
at Straight Jacket Studios,
and Mike recorded the drums just to that, and then from there we kind of parsed it out. Like we sent those with like the, you know, those were like the finals, of the drums. And we kind of parsed those out to everybody else, and everybody else just recorded their parts wherever they could. JP flew in from Colorado to record the guitar at my home studio here in Pittsburgh. We flew Ephraim in to record the vocals, so we would all be in the same room when we were doing that. So he recorded the vocals. He and I both did them at my buddy Bob's studio here in Pittsburgh. And
Ephraim actually did a couple lines, like a couple of redos at Straight Jacket too. Yeah.
Where did you record the horns at?
In my side room, baby.
Is that it? Oh, hell yeah. And Jose did the same thing?
Jose actually recorded his trombone parts in his apartment.
That's so fucking sick. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's wild. Like, we are all, like, we're communicating through this right now. But, like, I can see y'all have your fancy mics and shit in front of you. Like, we can just do this from home now. Like, a lot of it. I mean, like, it needs to get sent to the right places. And obviously, like, if you're recording drums or something and having a treated room and having the right mics and things. But, like, it's kind of wild that, like, you know, even, like, you know, when I was first starting to record, like, this wasn't really a possibility. Like, I was using, you know, Cool Edit Pro 2.0 and you know, using MIDI drums and everything. It's just wild how much different it is now.
Like, the only thing that was like fully done in a studio, aside from mixing and mastering that Jay did too, was the Japanese vocals. Obviously they did that in the studio, but the only thing that was like fully done in a studio was the drums. Everything else was done at our own apartments. Like, I think Adam did his bass tracks in his place. I did mine in my house.
I think he would just DI into a laptop. Yeah. Like, it's just wild.
Crushed it. Yeah. And then yeah, everybody did it in just like their own location, except for, and then Ephraim and JP flew out, but it's like the only thing that was studio was just the drums. Everything else was just, you know, as we could do it.
Yeah. And the record totally sounds amazing. That. Yeah,
the records, the record works together really well. Like nothing sounds like they're all recording different spots, and that probably, you know, has a lot to do with whoever engineered it, mixed, mastered it.
Jay is a beast.
Yeah, Jay Stolo, he's awesome.
Yeah, he rips it.
That's awesome.
But I'm really looking forward to not doing that again.
Like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, that's like, for pain, sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's
perfect for demos now, but now we want to do it all together for the next thing. So
yeah, no, I totally understand that. I just joined a band in Minnesota, and I am in Idaho, which is quite a far distance. And so we're kind of doing similar things. And even with some Boise bands here, I send in like organ parts from my apartment out, and we're able to get it mixed and sounding, you know, like we're all hanging out together. So it's definitely possible. Like the possibilities to start bands. If you're in a place where you don't have a lot of musicians around you who like want to do the same thing, you can connect and you can make it work. And you do have to put in the work for it. Like you said,
yeah,
it's a pain in the ass,
great.
But in the end, it's worth it for sure. Especially if you can't get somewhere where you have like-minded people who want to do cool shit. So I think this is somewhat inspirational for that kind of stuff. Cause the record sounds huge and it's like really well put together and it's just, it's heavy and great.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Out of curiosity, did you record the drums for that shut-ins at your
I did,
place?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It sounds killer.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Well, I mean, that was, yeah, we'll talk. Well, yeah, we talk. Yeah, I can go over some cool stuff with you there. It was a good time.
Hell yeah.
So by the time you guys were recording this EP, did you know it was going to be on Ska Punk International Records, or was it just finish it and then you sent it out and got connected with Chris, or how did that all happen?
So we kind of like it started with just the core of like me, Chris, and JP, and we were kind of like, we just want to do something fun. And it was like COVID just hit, so we were like, we just want to get this out and just like just have fun and just like put, we just want to like put as much music out as we possibly can. We had no plan to like put it out on a label. We were like, let's throw it up on Bandcamp or Spotify and just like promote it on socials and see what happens. But like as it grew and as more people started to join, like Ephraim and Esteban and like a couple other like guest appearances, were like, maybe we might have something here. And then at Supernova, Voodoo played Supernova and like, Chris with SPI was there, and I just went up to him and I was like, hey man, like I'm in this thing like called Mutiny, and I was be interested if you wanted to like, if you were, would SPI be interested in putting it out? And he was like, quick, like, absolutely. It was like the one time that Chris Ruckus shared the record with somebody that it worked out, because he shared it with everybody apparently before we before we put it out, because he's the worst.
I'm the literal worst. I like they say, loose lips sink ships, but in this case, loose lips get a record out of SPI. Yeah.
Yeah. But Chris, Chris SPI was like, he was like, oh yeah, I heard this like last year. And I was like, what the okay. Like, that's cool.
I just didn't think it was ever going to get put out. So I was like, funny to hear this shit.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I mean, I was, truth be told, I was sharing it with a couple people too, but not as many as you were, because you're a monster.
I'm a monster.
I love you.
Yeah, I got a copy of it like a year ago, and I remember talking to Cool Chris at SPI, and I was like, "Have you heard this?" He goes, "Yeah, I can't." Ruckus sent that out to me, and he sent it out to this person, and I was like, "Oh, it's like Gary." It's like, "Oh, I see. You're gonna go on dates with everyone then." Okay.
Yeah. But he swooped it right up. Like we'd kind of shopped it around to a couple other places, like. There may be like two or other three just to like see what would happen. And a couple of them were like, either, you know, they just ghosted us, because I mean, it's a brand new project. Nobody knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like what's going to happen. It could be good or it could be like bad. I mean, one of the labels that we sent it to, I think we tried to do it with Pure Noise, and the guy was like, this is, the music's amazing and I really like what you guys are doing, but it's, it's a brand new band and I don't really know. He's like, just release, if you could release this on your own and then come back when you have something, you know, in a year or two, and maybe we could talk then. So we got a couple of responses like that, but Chris like swooped it up right away and we were like, oh shit, okay, well, I guess we will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take, yeah, a beat and like, to, you know, put this out.
I talked to my other band, Dissidenti, has a release on Bad Time. So we talked to Mike and he was like, this is killer. We love it. I'd love to put it out. But like the time, his releases are already like, you know, a year and a half out. So
yeah, yeah, he's like locked in so far in advance. We couldn't, yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to say, shouldn't the, you know, like ska supergroup element kind of help out? It's like, sure, we're a new band, but it's, you know, people you know. We have Death by Stereo members, you have Voodoo Glow Skulls members, Dissidenti, and, you know, all sorts of people. I thought that might be kind of a selling point for it, but it doesn't sound like it was.
Yeah, you would think so, but it's still... It's still a ska band, you know. Like it's still a risk. It's
fucking,
still like
fucking ska, you know, killing it. Like, like why?
Yeah. Cool. The next record's all grindcore, so it doesn't really.
Yeah. There you exactly. go.
No horns. We got no rid horns. Of the horns.
Yeah. Yeah, my friend.
But no, we're very happy with where we landed. Chris has been amazing so far.
Yeah,
so.
He's a good dude. And one of the dudes, like I can like I'll just text him and be like, yo, like. What'd you have for breakfast? And he'd be like, oh, you know, just like just the dude you can just shoot shit with, which is
cool. Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's definitely sent me like 2 a.m. things before. Like, he's a good hang. I like Chris.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
SPI seems to be the label that will take a risk. You know, bad times taking risks on things and going and maybe, you know, I don't think I'm spilling any tea here, but like even Mike from Bad Time putting out Half Past Two's new record, like he was kind of like I think the first post about it, he kind of said, because, you know, the Orange County ska band staple was so on Half Past Two. He even talked about like, yeah, I was kind of iffy about putting it out, like, you know, because it didn't seem to fit. And then, you know, so taking risks, I think, it's good to see, you know, SPI Fest and ska punk or Bad Time Records taking risks and stuff like that. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Also like the Power Up release on SPI, like though, like both Eric and I are on that one. And like, those were just the homies from forever. So like, it was cool as hell that, you know, to share that commonality with them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And that's right. Cause you did the Castigation. Is that the track you guys were on?
I was on, President Evil 2.
Yeah, he's on the very first track, and I'm on with horns.
That's right.
And then I played organ on. I played organ on a couple. I think like 6 tracks. I don't remember which ones.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying the names changed by the time. Like names of anything. So like I'm thinking like, oh, on the song "Look at All Them Chickens," like I'm like, that's not what that's called.
Yeah. That's how I got it too when they sent it to me.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I do like this ska core direction that Ska Punk International takes from time to time. That's kind of the way a lot of it's going. It's getting heavier and heavier, but also mainly because I bought the Ska Punk Inner Thrashional sweater, and that's like my favorite sweater. So
hell yeah.
So I'm a big fan.
Yeah, the heavy ska stuff is really like what brought me back into ska, because like obviously I grew up listening to Public Fish and Less Than Jake and Suicide Machines and all that, but like it was like, people will fight me tooth and nail about it, but like what I call like the fourth wave is like, you know, like Flaming Tsunamis and A Billion Ernies and Folly and like those, like the Northeast ska core scene is kind of what brought me back into ska. Cause like, as I was getting into heavier music, even though I had that base of ska, I wasn't still like vibing with that as much. So it kind of like brought me back into that. So yeah, I love that.
And that's one of the reasons I'm really excited for SPI Fest is, you know, it's because it's in Connecticut, we're getting a lot of hometown heroes and Northeasterners. Mm-hmm. And so there are some really heavy bands like Power Up's going to be there. You guys are going to be there. Sergeant Skag, Best and Worst. So a ton of like really heavy bands. It's going to be a thrashy weekend.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So what is something you all would like to see more of in ska?
Oh, that's a good question.
Big question.
Yeah, if I'm be honest, I want to like more cross genre stuff. Like, I think the really, really interesting things that are happening are the things that are kind of fringy. I think Eichler's is a great example of that. Like, you know, crossing pop with ska. I think that's what's going to keep the genre alive and fresh. And plus, like I don't know, like I listen to a ton of like jazz and cumbia, and I love those genres. I would love to see more of that. I mean, obviously, jazz and ska at this point are inseparable. Like, there's a lot of overlap there. But like, cumbia is a great example. Like, the Marijuana Brass is like a great example of that.
Yeah,
totally. And so, yeah, I think just more cross genre shit. Just make shit weird. Just do fucking put ska plus whatever. I want to hear it. I want to hear your ska country songs. I want to hear your ska hip hop songs. I mean, granted, there's a lot of that too, but yeah, just make it weird.
Yeah. Take risks.
Yeah, I agree. I just want to hear it all. I just love all. I mean, I've been a ska head for a long time. So like, I just like all waves and iterations and forms and tones and all that stuff. So like, I just want more, just give me more of any kind, you know, and even like, I mean, ska core has my heart, like the heavy, heavy stuff. That's where I live and I want to be, but I truly love it all. So,
yeah. And I think that's where a lot of, you know, laymans are confused about skas. They all think it's just silly, happy, like 90s stuff. And they don't realize that there is so much diversity in ska itself, totally. between trad ska and ska core. And like Eichler's doing hyper pop ska, and
I love a lot of like the emo stuff that's coming out, like the emo ska, like that's really like super interesting.
Like the Sheds, that's a band I just recently discovered, and they're super like math rocky with emo stuff with ska, or like what's the one that just came out? Runaway Ricochet. Yeah.
Runaway, yeah, hell yeah,
it's very like
that
prog.
Album is wild. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah,
the real RX Bandit-y vibes are there. I love that shit.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right. So what is the near, obviously you got SPI Fest coming up. You guys are playing Supernova as well. Mutiny is. Yeah.
Yes. That is correct.
So beyond maybe, midsummer, what else does Mutiny have, down the line? Anything to talk about or promote?
I'm going to defer to Eric. I don't know what I'm actually allowed to say.
Okay, yeah, don't
put a muzzle on Ruckus, he shares too much.
Yeah, we have something very exciting in the works for November, and then next year we are talking about hopefully trying to possibly go to Europe and maybe Mexico. Wow. And we're just trying to like quietly grind. We're thinking about maybe releasing some stuff here soon, another little thing. So we've got to talk about that. But it's leave it to us to have more secrets that Chris can divulge to you guys later.
Yeah, I'll shoot you guys a text in like 20 minutes. Yeah.
Exactly. But we're definitely like quietly grinding right now, just like patiently waiting to announce stuff. And then hopefully in the next couple of months, we'll have a lot of really exciting things to announce for everybody.
Very cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
Chris, Eric, I'll text you after, buddy.
He's like, he wants
what?
To tell
we'll
us
go
right
ahead,
now.
What?
I just wonder, is that November thing? Is that like all confirmed?
It's like 99% confirmed. I just don't want to announce it until we have everything.
Okay,
you got to get your annual leave all figured out. Is that this? Is?
I already took off, baby.
Yeah, it's already happening.
I already took that shit off.
Before we switch over here to end the show, I did want to say like how funny it is that me and Chris here got connected as I was listening to rival podcast Checkered Past, the Scottcast, and Chris was on there and mentioned that he's a mailman, and I was like, no shit, I just reached out and I said, hey, I am also a ska mailman, and then immediately we're friends and started bitching about the job, and I mean, we talked about how much we love it and how much there's not too many packages and too much overtime, but
I have all of my coworkers are like always like showing me their phones like, this guy stole your bit. Like, I think he's got it on lock. You've been there for like 10 years or some shit, haven't you?
It's been, I think 3 or 4 now. Yeah, it's been a while, but.
Okay, yeah.
But I've had people reach out to me and be like, yo, you got to listen to my friend, Chris. I work with him. I'm in Pennsylvania. And I was like, yeah, I know Chris. And he's like, of course. Everyone's like, of course you know Chris.
Of course.
And then when Eric joined into the Ska Punk International Discord, he saw Ska Mailman. He goes, yo, I know this is Chris. And I was like, actually, no, my name is Adam. It's good to meet you.
He's like,
oh, hell. So confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would have known?
Can there be two?
Can there?
Well, yeah. We'll find out at SBI.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're going to see what happens.
We're either going to make out or we're going to wrestle.
Yeah,
you guys are just going to become one.
Or
be
both.
Kratom. It's be Kratom.
We're gonna crowd kill the audience there, and whoever's left standing, or you know, maybe it'd just be like a Goku and Vegeta fusion.
Yeah, fusion. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
I can live with that.
Hell yeah!
All right, bring your uniform.
All right. So of course, before we get out of here, we do have ska picks of the week. Eric, why don't you tell us about your ska pick?
All right, mine's like a deep cut, and Chris made fun of this song, but this whole album like kind of changed my life because I listened to it and I was like, it came out in like 90s. It's a band called the Lizdistics, mm-hmm. and the song I picked is just the first song off it. It's called Who Got the Meat. But I remember listening to this record and being like, you could fucking do this with ska? Like, this is great. Like, it's like real heavy and the horns are crazy and there's like breakdowns and stuff. I was like, oh my God. It like kind of changed my whole like life, my whole like ska trajectory. So that's my pick, even though Chris made fun of it.
I just made fun of it because there's that phaser on the guitar in the beginning and it's like, it sounds so dated. I mean, it's a great song. It's a killer song.
Yeah.
All right.
That whole album's great.
Let's check it out.
Now this is where we keep all of our meat. You got 15 rib roasts, 30 10-pound bags of hamburger. We got 12 turkeys, about 40 chickens, 50 sirloin steaks, 2 dozen of pork roasts, and 20 legs of lamb.
Chris, why don't you tell us about yours?
So I'm a big fan of a lot of reggae music, and someone I've been following for a while is this Japanese reggae singer named Asuka Ando. Mm-hmm. And she just came out with a record called Double Happiness, like maybe a week and a half ago. And it's killer. It has like the B side is a lot of like dub and jungle versions of the A side. And the single that she had before the record dropped is I'm gonna butcher it because I don't speak Japanese. So maybe you know, either Eric or my wife MJ will correct me on this, but Amai Kemuri is the name of the song. It's like has this like cool kind of dance hall-y vibe to it, and some really great toasting by Professor Shinen. So yeah, great song.
All right, Eric, do you want to make fun of his song now?
No, because I love Chris.
Yeah. And right, mine's new. So
it's like, damn it, yeah. All right, let's check it out.
Yo. Heat of それぞれの愛の形先にそれに気づいてやれって話 What a lovely baby girl ててや Yo sweet and singer Yo call me your singer
pick. And for my ska pick, well, since I ran into Harrison from the band Victory Kid and we got to chatting and he pointed out that they had put out a new song back in June of 2023, so it's been nearly a year and I didn't know about it, so I'm terrible at my job. And so that's my ska pick this week. It is called Escape Our Fate by Victory Kid.
Do you ever wonder what your kids will ask you when you grow old? Do you fight the powers to strip the riches from the earth they stole? Well, they know our freedoms are our breaks, our true wealth, or will they be forced out to mourn? But fascists
like it. It's you know, so Victory Kid, I would say most people might call them a pop punk band, but they have a lot of ska songs. So it's you know, basically they have more non-ska songs than they do ska, so much so that when I've seen them live, their horn player at a certain point just leaves the stage because it's like, well, he's not going to play for a bit. So, but there's all their ska. They're a really good band overall. I think if you're into pop punk in general and like sort of a third wave ska sound, you're going to love Victory Kid. So check out some of their other stuff. All right, Adam, what's your ska pick?
All right, my ska pick is from the band The Operators. They're from Indianapolis. I love this band. I think they're very, very good. I've been talking with Brandon from that band because mm-hmm. they have some music that they're working on. And much like Chris and much like Gary, he sent me a track to listen to that's kind of early, and I'm really excited for the new stuff. But until then, I got to listen to all the old stuff, which I'm not complaining about either. They're a really great band. Check them out. This song is called Ain't It Obvious.
That is a good band. They are former guests of On the Upbeat. So, yeah, check out their stuff. Make sure you check it out. Well, good ska picks, everyone. Good ska picks. Yay, we did it.
Hooray!
So, Eric and Chris, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, yeah.
And listeners, if you want to hear more from Eric and Chris, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/ontheupbeatska. And $4 a month gets you at least usually two bonus episodes. A lot of the times it's more. Private access to a Facebook page, discounts on merch, and who doesn't love discounts on merch? And also, just a reminder, we do have our new spinoff podcast, Every Song Sucks, a Real Big Fish podcast where we break down all of the Real Big Fish songs one by one. We recently released episode episode four. What? It's confusing. Right. We did a bad thing. We called the first episode episode zero, and now it's all messed up. Anyway, we have a new episode out. It's right now. It's for the song Awesome.
Awesome.
So check that out. It is on a completely different feed than this podcast. So search up Every Song Sucks, and you should find it. All right, listeners, thank you for listening. Whether you subscribe to the Patreon, whether you write a rate and review on your favorite podcast app, or you just tell a friend about us, we appreciate your support. Anything you do, it matters. It's cool. And, of course, until next time,
keep listening to ska.
You've been listening to On the Upbeat. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you get all the new episodes as soon as they're available. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at On the Upbeat Ska. Follow our Spotify playlist, Ska Favorites. It features all the songs heard on the show. Please consider joining our Patreon. Visit patreon.com/ontheupbeatska to sign up today. And thank you for supporting On the Upbeat.